production.
Welcome everybody to Taking On Sports. I am TD. That is Greg. Greg, how you doing today, man?
I am good. How are you today, buddy?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, just enjoying a nice Sunday here. But yeah, I guess we'll kick things off. Let's go. We'll start with Bama Hoops this week. A very roller coaster week for the Tide. Great, enthralling overtime win Wednesday over Florida. And then turned around, went to Rupp Arena yesterday and got smoked. What do you make of the Tide's week?
Well, you know what, I like the heart from Wednesday night there. I mean, it was definitely a good win there. It was a hard-fought win there. One of the prettiest of games, but, you know, they overcame some things. I mean, the absence of Latrell Wright's has been huge.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the three-point shot wasn't going. Probably one of Mark Sears' worst games as of late. I mean, he picked it up in the second half, but, I mean, he looked a little off in that first half, so. But.
No, yeah, for sure. His absence was felt. Weitzel's absence was felt. Sears didn't have his best game, but the whole team picked it up. And then yesterday, I don't really know what happened. All you could say is Kentucky shot at an incredible rate all game long, and Bama couldn't keep up. It was just one of those games, really. I mean, do you take a lot of stock in the loss yesterday, or you just kind of chalk it up and go, oh, well?
I mean, the only thing I would really say, the only thing that you find troubling is that, but I mean, it's not really a big thing because, of course, the biggest games coming up are going to be on neutral courts. But, you know, the SEC tournament, the NCAA tournament. But, you know, we have the, you know, all our three big losses on the road have had similar things. You know, you go into a Tennessee, a Auburn, Kentucky, and they go on big runs middle of the first half, and it just kills us. We don't ever really respond. Mm-hmm. I mean, yesterday Kentucky went on a 20-2 run. We're keeping it close before that run. I mean, it was back and forth, and they just opened it up, and we just, I don't know, after that we were done.
Yeah, there were like 10 lead changes halfway through the first half or something.
And the first 10 minutes was, you know, real up and down. It fit our style because, I mean, that's our style. But, yeah, they just opened it up. We weren't hidden. I would say yesterday that probably the biggest takeaway is the defense was horrible. I mean, they were
– Yeah.
I mean, their shooting percentage was great, but, I mean, there was no – they had separation. I mean, we weren't in their face at all. I mean, they were wide open shots. I mean, now, as far as taking away for the length of the season, no. I mean, it's pretty much one of those games you throw away. You got to get better. You just move on from it. You know what? Not really much to study because, you know, everything that went wrong could have went wrong yesterday. It's just one of those games. But now, you know, it gets a little tougher just because, of course, we have a – Ole Miss on the road, another road game against not as good a team, but still a much improved team.
Improved from the years recently, at the moment, an ice cold team. They've lost five of their last six, and the only win during that stretch was at home over winless Missouri. You know, Missouri is winless in SEC. So maybe they're catching the Rebels at the right time. Could be a good chance for a bounce back.
Possibly, yeah. But, I mean, it is a road game. So, I would think that we should bounce back well. You would think the practices this week before, Wednesday night's game, I believe, are going to be pretty brutal. I would say Nate will be in their ass all week. And then, of course, the big one next Saturday, College Game Day will be there. Huge atmosphere, revenge game against Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we should have a lot to say with who wins the regular season championship. Because, of course, now we're tied with Tennessee, and they currently have the tiebreaker, being that they're up one on us. So,
yeah, so absolutely a huge game.
Important week. Very important week coming up. I think from yesterday, I guess, I'm more shocked, not that we lost, but just the fact that we just got absolutely housed. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that was the most Kentucky has ever put on us. Most that we've ever, I mean.
Most that they've ever put up against a opponent in the top 25.
Yeah. So it's just ugly, and it was just, it got from bad to worse, and yeah. I mean, I think, you know, but I think, you know, they felt that there was a must win on their end simply because, I mean, they had a bad loss to LSU. Mm-hmm. And even before then, you know, they got a little better, but I mean, they've had a lot of home losses. You know, people are calling for Cal's head as they always do at Kentucky. Yeah. But I mean, they seem to feel a little bit more pressure. I mean, you know, they just came out hitting. And, you know, honestly, I don't, you know, Kentucky is a talented team, but I mean, they're not a great team. We probably won't see Kentucky do anything like that for the rest of the season. It's one of those, they were hitting on everything. It's once a season type thing. I doubt we'll see Kentucky play like that for the rest of the season.
they had lost their previous game to LSU, so it shows how up and down they can be too.
Yeah, I mean, they had that big lead and lost it, but yeah, I mean. We've had our struggles with Kentucky, as we know, and Rupp Arena has never been fun place for us for most of the time. A lot of the time, just hasn't been a fun place for us at all. But you know, we still, you know, the good thing, we still have a control in our own destiny to win the SEC. Three of our last, two of our last four games are at home. The other games, of course, you know, Ole Miss should be a win. Going to Gainesville will be tough, but I mean this week is pretty much, I think, will tell a lot of, you know, where we're gonna be as far as SEC champions or not. Mm-hmm. Of course, we'll still more than likely be a top four. You know, I mean, we're probably a top four, so we'll get that double bye there in the SEC tournament. So.
Mm-hmm. Tennessee's week is not easy either. They host Auburn on Wednesday, so
that's a tough game.
Yeah, that's a back-to-back tough ones for them.
Right.
So yeah, I think by Saturday, after Saturday's games, we'll know a lot more about the SEC picture.
All right, for sure.
As far as the regular season goes,
all right. Definitely up and down.
One question, you talked about the defense, obviously, so that's where I wanted to go. Is the Alabama defense as good as it's going to get this year, or do you think they can still improve?
I think we are kind of who we are. Mm-hmm. When things are going well, we play good defense. When things get away from us, we kind of get away from who we are. You know, we've seen instances where they played good defense. You know, they play good defense from – both their games against LSU, the second game against Mississippi State at home. You know, I thought we played somewhat decent defense against Florida and Auburn, you know, at home. I just think we're not a good road team. But, you know, I think that some of it just has to do with playing on the road and the opponents that we play good defense. But that, I guess that's kind of troubling only because, you know, the type of opponent that – we struggle the most with is the type of team we're going to see in the tournament. So,
yeah.
Now, being that, you know, it's on a neutral court, you know, that helps us out. And I think, you know, if we get right, so, you know, if he comes back healthy, obviously he had that concussion protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Missed two games, so I would think he should at least be back by next Saturday. I don't know what he's looking at for the Ole Miss game for now. But, you know, I think it just shows how much he really means to the team with him, you know, just an extra, you know, 12, 15 points. Probably our best three-point shooter on the team, I'd say, most consistent anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. No, for sure. Yeah. His return. And then if Nick Pringle keeps playing as well as he did against Florida, if he gets consistently plays well, that'd be a huge pickup for the team as well. Yeah. They need that inside presence.
Yeah. I'm just seeing a big body. And you know, he can score at times. I mean, we don't need to always put up points, but, you know, he can give you 10. If he gives you 10 to 12, I mean, if he can give us a double-double, I mean, that'd be fantastic. That's not really from him.
With like 4 or 5 offensive rebounds, you know, get us 8 to 10 points on just putbacks there. That's huge.
And if he can, you know, cause people not to be able to drive the lane or you know, even if he doesn't block a shot, just change the trajectory of how they shoot or, you know, anything to force a miss here and there. Because, I mean, that's, you know, once it comes tournament time, it's going to come down to the small things, you know, one or two things here and there, the difference in the game. But I think for the most part, we are who we are. You know, we've been who, you know, with the, you know, we are who we are every game. It's just a matter of if everything's, if the three ball's falling and they're feeling good, then they play great defense. Well, I think our biggest thing is, and sometimes we've picked it up and other times we haven't, is if things don't go as planned or, you know, the three ball's not falling and people's shots, you know, we get a little cold, you know, that, hey, you got to pick it up on that other end. Because sometimes, you know, you get the turnover and we love that transition offense. That's where they're best in. You got to open that up so you can get the easy buckets, build your confidence. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what that's been our biggest struggle is when we get down on ourselves and we stop playing defense. But our good defense is what opens up everything for us. Because as we saw yesterday, you know, we got a lot of half court sets and that was not pretty at all.
No, not at all. But yeah, if that offense plays up to its potential every night, you know, they can get hot for the streak, you know, the length of a tournament. And
we know when, like, we're on, we're scary.
Yeah. And like Jimmy Dyke said the other week, we mentioned it last week, I think, but Alabama's defense doesn't have to be great. It just needs to be good.
Yeah. You can't give up
117.
You can't give up 100 and whatever to a Kentucky team. The thing is, I guess, at this point, you just throw it away and move on to the next because you really learn from a game like that. They know they're much better than that. We know they're much better than that. But it is what it is.
Yeah, like you said, move on to the next one. We go to Oxford Wednesday. A sneaky, you know, tough environment, even though, like we said, it's a ice cold Ole Miss team. But still, you go there, you got to handle business and get ready for Saturday.
Now, maybe that's one thing I will say is we bounce back well. After the Tennessee loss, we bounce back well. Mm-hmm. After the Auburn loss, we bounce back well. So I really don't think we'll have a problem bouncing back. I mean,
no, yeah.
Have confidence.
This is a team that bounces back well. Another big one next weekend to Florida at South Carolina. And then Auburn hosts State on Saturday, you know, so those are those two teams. If you look at the standing, it's Tennessee, Alabama in first at 11-3 and Auburn and South Carolina right behind them at 10-4. The team's kind of still alive. Yeah.
Right. And kudos to, you know, South Carolina. That was a team at first. I was like, well, it's kind of nice that they're there. But, you know, kind of, you know, as the season's gone on, you're like, wow, they're not going anywhere. They'd have a fall off once conference play picked up. You know, they had a kind of a soft, out-of-conference schedule to build up their confidence. And then, you know, you thought, well, once the SEC play starts, you know, they'll fall off a little bit. But, you know, for the most part, they held their own. They've gotten the right coach to put things together down Columbia. So yeah, they're not going anywhere. So yeah, it's a big will be a big Saturday. Like you said.
Yeah, it turns out Ole Miss was that team. You know, they came into SEC play 13-0, and they're 6-8 in conference. But Yeah, elsewhere around college hoops this week, a couple upsets. We had earlier in the week, Washington State over Arizona in Tucson. It was a surprise one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and then they turned around. They lost, but yesterday, though, didn't they?
I think they did.
Yeah.
But they are, you know, but they were tied them with first going into yesterday with Arizona. I can't say I watched a lot of Washington State basketball, but they've had a good season. And then
we had Creighton had a wild week. They upset UConn earlier in the week, only to turn around and lose to St. John's yesterday.
Yeah.
Looks like Rick Pitino got his message across.
Hey, that was crazy because, he went in on everybody. He said, hey, the players suck. The facilities suck. Mm-hmm. This isn't where, but man, yeah. So, I guess it worked.
we just now had a upset of sorts, a little one, not a big one at all, on CBS here. Ohio State hits a buzzer beater to beat Michigan State in East Lansing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the big one that's generating news this week is Wake Forest over Duke yesterday, and not really because of the result. It wasn't upset, but because of the fans storming the court afterwards. Appear to hurt Duke's Kyle Filipowski. And now, so it's, you know, the debate has come up once again. Maybe justifiably so. Yeah, what do we do with these court stormings? You know, that they're starting to become a little bit of a danger. You know, we saw Caitlin Clark about a month ago.
Hers looked a little forced, I will say that.
Yeah. But, you know.
Yeah.
She, you know, a fan runs into her, yeah. And then Kyle Filipowski is injured yesterday. You know, had to hobble off the court.
I don't know. Because if you tell folks they can't do it at all, what do people do?
They want to do it even more. And
yeah.
And you like the SEC fines their schools, but you know, each team account, if they had their fans storm a court, they're going to put it on Instagram and social media and all that. They're going to celebrate it. It's part of college basketball. It is a great visual, but we do have to wonder at one point when some fan crosses a line against a player who's obviously emotional and full of adrenaline, you know, is he going to do something, you know, hurt somebody?
You don't. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a touchy situation. But you know, I don't know if you can say it's gone for good just because I don't know how well that's going to be received. We know how people are.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, but I don't know. I think sometimes it's done too much.
Yeah.
Because yesterday, I mean, honestly, the name Duke, I understand it is Duke, but Duke has not been Duke for a couple of seasons, honestly. Mm-hmm. Wake Forest was the favorite yesterday.
Yeah, and it wasn't a buzzer beater win. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like some spur of the moment.
Right. I mean, they were going to win the game. I mean, sometimes, like, I understand it's fun. I mean, I really never experience rushing the court because we never really got to it. Alabama, not sure if we ever would have or not. I know we thought about it like a couple of times, but we didn't. Came up on the short end of it. So I don't know how that would have gone, but I mean, it looks like it's a great time. But I mean, sometimes it's done too much. Like, yes, it's cool to be Duke, but this isn't like a legendary Duke team. They're probably not winning the national title. They're a decent team, but Wake Forest is a decent team too. Like I wouldn't necessarily waste the court storming on yesterday.
Right. And It's a weird thing that it's only done in college sports. You know, it's prohibited in all the professional sports for player safety. And it's weird that we don't do that for
the people in college.
Yeah, for younger, for student safety. And safety of them, you know, they can hurt themselves running on the court too. You know, it's a weird situation. It's tradition. I mean, like you said, it's overdone, but.
We've seen, people get hurt all the time, and we've seen all of them. Was it when the Auburn fans were stuck in the bushes?
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah, but if we outlaw it, then we lose moments like that. So, yeah, it's one of those subjects where, like, and then how do you stop, you know, people from doing it other than saying maybe, like, if you storm the court, you'll have to forfeit the game. So then schools actually take real preventative measures. Right.
Yeah, I mean, the only way you could really do it is, you either do something like that or the fine is, like, $10 million. It's got to be either a massive amount or it's got to be something, if you storm the court, you lose the game. Yeah. At that point, then you're probably going to get some people's attention. They're probably going to take the preventative measures. But, you know, I don't know if that's a route you really want to go or not. You know, it's a slippery slope.
It's just one of those, and I'm glad I don't have to make that decision.
Yeah, because, I mean, the thing is, it's been around so long in the game, you know. But, yeah, I think because it happens so much that I think that's where, like, if you haven't been a team in 20 years, you know, or, you know, you're a 5-18 team and you knock off number one, rush that court. But, I mean, if you're a top 25 team or around that area, why are you rushing the court? Like,
yeah.
You shouldn't necessarily be considered. You shouldn't want it to be like, this is, you know, like Wake Forest is, like yesterday, if I'm a Wake Forest player, I'm like, bro, y'all didn't have any thought and belief that we were going to win the game? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like the overrated chant. You're kind of like, wait a minute now. You're just diminishing your win when you chant that.
I don't know.
It's just a weird thing. On the court, of course, we're approaching championship week. You know, we're starting to solidify those seeds. You know, Alabama's still looking like a 3 seed right now. In the latest bracketology, which I believe came out after the let's see, it was updated. Oh no, so it would have been before the Kentucky loss. But
yeah, we were on the 3 line.
Yeah, on the 3 line. Right now, Joe Lunardi has us in Purdue's bracket. Of course, we'd be on the other side with Marquette, right, the 2 seed, St. Mary's, the 6 seed. Interesting right now. You know, our 1 seeds are Purdue, UConn, Houston, Arizona. Houston, a big win this week over Baylor.
Huge win. Down 17, came back on the road.
Yeah. And those are probably teams that probably stay there. Tennessee has a shot to maybe sneak in if they win the SEC regular season and then tournament.
Yeah.
But it also, they need one of those teams to kind of slip up ahead of them.
Right. And who knows? I mean, you know, a lot of the tournaments, very rarely do you see the conference regular season end up winning the tournament as well. It happens time to time. Of course, we've done it 2 of the last 3 years ourselves, but for the most part, it doesn't happen very often.
It's a hard feat.
It's a hard thing to do. I could see Tennessee moving up to that 1, but they would definitely need some help. But you know, overall though, I mean, there's nobody that you're like, man, this is definitely that's the beauty of, like, last year, this year. I mean, some people say it's great. Some people say, you know, they won, you know, powers. But there's really no one that you're like, man, this is definitely your champion. This is it. You know, they're the definite number one overall if they lose, we're going to be shocked. So, I mean, it's a wide open field again. You know, I would say even with the loss this week, I'd probably say UConn's probably the best team in America. But, you know, it's wide open there. So that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. And elsewhere, you know, that's pretty much it for this week. Like I said, we're coming up on championship week. You know, starting to get to that time of year. It gets real good in college basketball.
Oh, for sure.
On the NBA side of things, nothing, I guess, super noteworthy this week. Trae Young will miss about a month with a finger injury. Kind of feisty week in the NBA. The Heat and Pels getting a big fight. They got five players suspended in that. The Suns and Lakers had a little heat today. There's another game where someone else got into it too. Steve Kerr gets a 2-year extension with
you. That's huge money.
Big money. Yeah, $35 million. Wow. Big money. I think biggest for a coach ever, right?
Yeah, because I mean that's big. That's big money for especially the NBA. Because I mean, it's probably some of the as far as like head coaches, probably some of the smaller money that you see out there. So when I saw that, I was kind of like, wow.
Yeah,
you know.
Other than that, you know, kind of see Celtics still just running away with the East. They have an 8-game lead for that one seed, and then kind of Cleveland and Milwaukee right there for the 2 seed, and then a bunch of teams behind them.
And I guess, you know, the Embiid being out, we'll see how much of an effect that has. Mm-hmm. Not only for him coming back, but then also just the 76ers in general. Of course, they lost today.
But, you they're know, struggling just, 3-7 in their last 10 games, and they're only a game ahead of the play-in tournament. So
that's tough because that's definitely not
where they thought they'd be.
No, not at all. I mean, and then the other thing, too, you know, when he does come back, you know, he's back in game shape because, yeah, of course, he's still an athlete, but, you know, if you've been out with that type of injury, you know, you got to build up your stamina again for that and probably come back right before the playoffs. I mean, not the easiest time to come back at all. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. You know, Philly has had some bad luck in the when it comes to basket. The 76ers have had some bad luck. So we'll see how it goes.
On the Western side of things, it's kind of that Minnesota's got a half game lead over OKC for the one seed, and the Clippers and Nuggets are both right there.
Yeah.
The Nuggets just feel like they're just on cruise control until it gets playoff time. You wonder if they just don't turn it on the last month, get that one seed and home court advantage, and then just go through again.
But, you know, honestly, I don't think that they even really need home home advantage. I mean, they'll be fine whether they're three, whether they're one, like the Nuggets or the Nuggets. Yeah. And the thing, too, I mean, it's a cool story, you know, with, like, Minnesota and OKC, but does anybody really think either one of those is going to come out the West? I mean, I mean, it's a cool story. I like it. You know, a lot of young talent there. But, you know, you just don't know. Until you see it, you really don't have faith that those young teams are going to be out, or, you know, teams that haven't really been in that area for a while are really going to take it to the next step and just win the West.
You wonder, obviously they've had great seasons. They deserve it. Yeah. But, you know, yeah, like you said, can those youthful cores really take you? I mean, the questions are always there about Minnesota and Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert. You know, is that enough? Are they consistent enough? You know, we obviously know
Edwards
and Edwards is just that dude.
He is that guy.
But yeah, can they, both of those teams, can they make that consistent run to win, you know, three straight four game or seven game series to get the NBA Finals? You wouldn't be surprised at all to see either one of them, especially with home court, in the final, the conference finals.
Right.
But you'd be surprised to see both, or you would think they would come up. Like, yeah, like if OKC makes it against Denver, do we have, you know, great run? But yeah, but
could they beat Denver? I don't think anybody really believes that.
Yeah.
At the moment, it'd be cool to see, but yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody really has faith in that.
Yeah, and that's nothing against OKC or Minnesota. That's, Denver's that good.
I mean, but you know, the upstarts,
you got to take your lumps first and then come back.
You know, they had that great, last year they had a great season, but no one really thought that the Kings were going to go to the, you know, NBA finals. You know, we've seen it with the, you know, Memphis team. You know,
not sure if this is still recorded. Yeah. There you go. I don't know if we recorded that last little bit, but we'll see.
No, but you know, we've just seen it with like the Kings. You know, they had a great regular season, and then you really never thought that they were going to actually win the West. Mm-hmm. We've seen it with Memphis a couple of times, but they've had great regular seasons and a fun team, but you know, you really don't have faith that they were going to do it. You know, you would like to see it because, you know, I like Alexander. You know, I like Anthony Edwards. I mean, but until they do it. But I will say, you know, the NBA has a lot of young talent. So, you know, that's a lot of talent there. That's as some of the older guys get, you know, LeBron steps away, you know, and others get older. You know, the NBA is definitely still in very good hands. A lot of young talent there.
Yeah. Coming up behind that four pack, you know, speaking of young talent, the Pels and then your Mavs have both been pretty hot lately. Both 8-2 in their last 10. The Mavericks have won seven in a row.
And the Pacers right now.
Mm-hmm. They're both fighting to stay in the playoffs and not have to fight in that play in. The Mavericks are technically tied. They have one fewer win than the Suns, but also one fewer loss right now. So they, right now, are in the sixth spot. Those two are fighting the Suns and Kings to keep them away off their back and get that five and six seed.
That's important, I think, to stay stay out of that one game, possibly eliminated scenario. I mean, just because. It's unpredictable. A lot of unpredictable. And anything to stay out of that is what you want to do.
Especially with, you know, like both their teams need it too. You know, the Mavs need it. They need Luka in a playoff series. They need to show that this Luka Kyrie thing was right, at least to get them to the playoffs where they want to be.
Exactly.
And the Pelicans need to get there with Zion too. He needs to play in the playoffs, not just to play in.
For sure. You know,
The Pels have fought hard before, you know, the memorable series against the Suns. You know, they've gotten through the play-in before, but you want to get to that automatic. You don't want to have to deal with that.
Yeah, I don't even worry about that extra game.
Particularly, and we've talked about it with the playoff before, but right now they both feel like they deserve it. You know, the Kings are at the 8 seed right now, and the Warriors behind them are 3 games back. So, yeah, if you got a little chip on your shoulder, if you're that 7-8 team and you're like, hey, man, we did our job. But, and that's pretty solidified as far as, like, I mean, the Lakers have a 4-game lead over the Jazz for that last play-in spot. So it would take something. And the Jazz have just been playing awful lately.
The season just caught up with them.
Got
so well, but, yeah.
But yeah, I think that's it for basketball talk. Let's see, get notes here. I'm trying to really think what else is going on this week in general in the sports world that we, you know, spring training started.
Spring training did start. I'd probably say just as Alabama fans with the whole Alabama radio.
We should mention Eli Gold is no longer our play-by-play man in football. And it appears to not be a mutual decision. Alabama announced that he would no longer be with the broadcast team. Chris Stewart going to full-time play-by-play, not just on the road. And then Eli comes out and says it basically wasn't his decision. And that he's not retiring. He's still going.
Yeah.
Did he ever announce what team he's going to announce for now?
But I heard he had already gotten a job. Mm-hmm. Well, he said he went and talked to somebody already. So, I mean, I'm not shocked because, he's a talented guy. You know, you hate to see it end like it did. I mean, it was a historic run. I mean, he was there for what? Since 88. So, I mean, it's been forever. Been through seven national titles and all the SEC championships and been through it all. It's weird how it ended. You know, when I first saw it come across, I was like, well, damn, is his health bad again? You know, is something, something happened there? And you hear it. It sounds like, you know, even last year, things may have not been good as far as his relationship with UA, because it sounded like he wanted to do the entire season last year and kind of tell, hey, bro, you're kind of the home games. So I don't know. And then, you know, he said that basically he just tried to give him, hey, give me one more year and then I'll walk away. Cool. And they told him no. I was like, oh, wow. I'm sure it's somewhere in the middle, but it's like, man, not the prettiest end of a long-term relationship for sure. I know a lot of fans are pissed off right now because, I mean, that's who a lot of people grown up with and know as the guy on the radio for sure. I mean, you have to be a lot older to really know anybody before Eli go. But.
He's been the guy for as long as I've really been consciously a Alabama fan,
For sure.
We've seen his analyst, his sidekick change over the years, but it'll be different. And like we said, Chris Stewart is great. He deserves it too. It's just a weird way for it to end for Eli, a guy that's such an institution on Alabama radio.
Right. His voice and it's crazy how it's gonna end, but hey, I guess things don't always go as planned. A lot of changes for 2024 at Alabama for sure.
Other than that, it's like we've mentioned, it's that time of year in the sports world. We're just gearing up for the draft and NFL free agency. Like we mentioned, spring training did start. Cody Bellinger did sign with the Cubs this week. So he'll stay there. Still a few kind of big names. Waiting to find a team. You know, they might wait some to the season or maybe later in spring training.
Right.
But other than that, not much going on. So I said last week that I'd throw some ideas or whatever at you, maybe realignments or just wild ideas, and see what you think about them. And then I didn't really do my homework this week. But so... instead of just throwing some half-assed one out there, I will work on one this week, and next week we'll have a legit, some fun idea, for you to actually sink your teeth into. And we'll just call this a shorter episode this week. Nothing wrong with that. So what has been done up real good for you this week?
Done up real good for me this week. Watched my daughter in another academic competitions this weekend. It was a science Olympiad before they get ready for state tournaments. So, and just seeing her involved in that's just cool to watch. How about you?
I'm going to say the return of spring weather to Birmingham, for now at least. You know, there's always maybe one more little cold dip, but the worst of it seemed to be over. We, you know, it was a nice day. Went to the park today.
Nice.
So it's just nice for that time of year to get back and have a little bit of, you know, some moderate weather before the crushing heat of a southern summer. But yeah, that's it. That'll do it for us this week, folks. A little bit of a quick episode for you. As quick as we do anyway. as always, do subscribe. Give us good ratings on wherever you listen to your podcast. Tell your friends about us. Tell your rich friends about us. Check out all the podcasts on the Alabama Take family of podcasts. You can find them same place you find us. Or you can also go to alabamatake.com to see the occasional writings. Of course, this was the last week of the challenge season, so the write-up on the final is up on the site right now. And then every now and again, somebody gets the itch to put something on there. but it's also where you can find all of the podcast as well. Thanks again for listening. Do keep it done up real good out there yourselves, folks. Greg, take it easy, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.